Hey, Garrett.
Yes, Boca.
Are you going to ruin your life despite a guy who's never even heard of you?
Maybe. I like to leave my options open.
Okay, well, that's an option that you should probably have closed. I'm Boca.
And I'm Garrett.
Welcome to the Bromance Podcast. That's two guys talking about romantic comedies because love is dead, movies are real, and I don't have a third thing. We're recording this at a weird time. Garrett, how are you feeling?
Well, I watched this while I was drunk, so it's going to be a little abstract. And on top of that, I don't have a mic, so if you're hearing this shitty audio quality, blame the fine people at Apple for their AirPod mics.
Or, you know, personal responsibility,
no.
As
no,
is the song of your
responsibility.
The song of your people, that and Bootstraps, you and O'Shea Jackson just bumping it up at the GOP conventions. What movie are we doing this week?
We're doing Long Shot.
Long Shot, baby. The 2019 rom-com starring Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. Budget of $40 million. Box office $53 million. Not a great margin.
Oh, wow.
Pretty decent movie. Overly long runtime. High level. How'd you feel about it?
I liked it. It was funny, though, that you say overly long runtime, because it's only like an hour and 40 minutes.
It's 124.
Is it?
According to Wikipedia, 124 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not see that for it.
It felt long. So it's a little over 2 hours. I mean, that might include.
Okay. Well, I guess for me, it felt fast.
You were drunk.
Well, that would explain it. It would be the alcohol. You're right.
That'll do it. Yeah. Alcohol is the closest we'll ever get to time travel. So
it really is. Also, trivia night at a brewery is a great way to feel stupid.
Wait, is that what you were doing?
100%.
Ooh, wait. Did you get any questions right?
Well, yeah, of course. It's just we were like second to last place, but we also came in four questions behind everyone else.
Oh,
we fucked up. So I feel like next week we're really going to shine.
Oh, is this a weekly thing? Do you have a team?
Yeah. What's no, just the two of us.
Okay. All right. No further questions, Your Honor. I don't want to. All right. The plot of this movie. The U.S. Secretary of State is played by Charlize Theron, and she learns from President Bob Odenkirk, who's a former TV actor, that, hi, I may be president of the United States. Electing actors for anything is stupid, by the way. Just
I know.
Has there been a time, like, even Arnold, now hindsight, he's nice in the same way we fucking rehabilitated both Jimmy Carter and George W. Yeah. Stop electing actors. It's a job and work experience fucking matters. Anywho, he's like, I don't want to be second term president. I'm going to do something even more important. I'm going to make the transition from a TV actor to a movie actor, which allegedly, according to him, is rare.
Yeah.
I
started trying to list out people that like have made the transition. So it was like, they debated Jennifer Aniston. It was like, you can be a star in movies, but it doesn't make you a movie star, which like, that's kind of a convincing argument.
Well, I mean,
who are the other...
Sorry, I cut you off. No, okay. So I was going to, I mean, when he said that in the scene, President Bob Odenkirk, I was like, okay, well, immediately I think of George Clooney from ER to movies. And I think Denzel, Saint Elsewhere to movies. And then thankfully, IMDb has a full list. But before I like run those off, do you have any TV to movie jumps that immediately jump to your mind?
Honestly, no. I mean, so this is not a movie star by any means, but absolutely, we're gonna forget his name, but like Turk, every time I see Turk in a from Scrubs, every time I see him in a movie, I'm like, it's Turk, but it's always like in that vein. It's not really like he's in movies, but it felt very much like you're seeing Turk in the movie.
Donald Faison. And the funny thing is,
he
did more movies to TV because he did Clueless, he did Remember the Titans, then Scrubs, right? So he plays both sides of the ball. But yeah, others: Will Smith, Tom Hanks, Michael J. Fox, John Travolta, Tim Allen, Woody Harrelson, Jennifer Aniston, Bruce Willis, Clint Eastwood, Steve Carell, John Belushi, Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, George Clooney, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Melissa McCarthy, Adam Sandler, and fucking Seth Rogen himself. Freaks and Geeks to his whole career.
What was Sandler's? Oh, SNL?
Both SNL. He had small shit in the Cosby Show, actually. He was one of Theo's friends in the Cosby Show. But yeah, SNL. That's the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. What about Bruce Willis?
Moonlighting with, what's her face? Sybil Shepherd.
No idea. I've never seen or heard of.
I just love me some young Sybil Shepherd. So anyway, the president's not going to run for your election, and the Secretary of State Oh wait, yeah. What's that name, Garrett? Charlize Theron's character, Theron's character, Secretary of State. 50% of this fucking movie.
Yeah, it's like her actual name, but not. It's like it has like a it's char. Like,
okay.
It's like it's not Charlize, but it's got some char. So what's like char woman names?
Oh my god.
Charlotte.
There we go.
Hey, that was not even the Mind Palace. That was
We haven't seen the Mind Palace in a while. Is it foreclosed? We haven't
visited it in a hot minute. I mean, here's the problem: is when we've had a lot of guests, and whenever we have guests, we don't play What's That Name.
Yeah,
and so we just haven't not been playing What's That Name.
Yeah, or yeah, we didn't play it last week, but that was because it was Princess Bride. Fine.
Yeah, that's true.
So she says, "Oh boy, she has essentially has his handshake agreement. You're going to endorse me for presidential run. I'm a high powered young woman in a male dominated world, working 9 to 5, more like 3 to 10. Hooray me, Charlize Theron. Meanwhile, New York City journalist, played by Seth Rogen. He's got a great beard and a wonderful jumper. Garrett, mm-hmm. What's that name?
Actually, I'm gonna need the Mind Palace.
Tap in.
Okay. Princess Bride, the kid, Savage, Fred. His name's Fred.
Okay. That's correct. Fred Flarsky.
That's how I got there.
Brooklyn journalist. We first meet him at a neo-Nazi rally. But don't worry, he's not.
Old.
Yeah, he's not a Nazi. He's just I'm a Vice-esque report journalist, and I'm gonna expose the truth on neo-Nazis. What more is there to know? At this point, but okay. And halfway through a swastika tattoo, they're like, this motherfucker's a journalist. He jumps out the window, doesn't die, and limps away.
So the way he jumps out the window, he jumps out the window. First. Yeah, like 25 feet in the air, lands on a Camry and then hits the concrete. It's like, okay, you've shattered your pelvis, you can't walk, you might never walk again. And you get right back up limping and are like, I got you. I got the audio on my phone. I'm Seth Rogen. Oh. Yeah. And then he like walks away. It's like, there's no fucking way.
I get knocked down, but I get up again.
But I get up again.
Exactly. You know, that's his ethos. And so
yeah.
He does all that. And the next day he's like, oh yeah, we're not going to be able to publish this. But by the way, we just got bought out by Parker Wembley, a wealthy media mogul. He's fucking a Koch brother. Who's the guy who owns Fox News? He's Richard Ailes. Died.
Yeah.
Ailes die, or am I just wishing?
It might be a little bit calm.
Roger Ailes, not Richard Ailes. Yeah. Hey, he died in 2017. That's great. Yeah, it is. I don't even feel guilty about saying that. So fucking Seth Rogen is like.
What about like Rupert Murdoch?
Yeah, that one's still alive, I think. Yeah. Mm. Man, oof. Anywho, watch this podcast get bought. And I'm like, listen, fiscal responsibility, and you can't trust immigrants, and Me Too is a lie. Yeah, and this is sponsored.
Honestly, who doesn't love a tiki torch?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This podcast is sponsored by Home Depot. Get all your tiki torches here. So Seth Rogen is like, fuck you, I'm quitting. And then his boss, played by Randall Park, shout out Randall Park. He's like, well, let me fire you so you can get unemployment. And he's like, no, I'm going to quit so that Parker Wembley knows that I quit. It's like, he deaf doesn't know you.
No one cares.
Air. Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that he has morals and values. He's cutting off his nose to spite his face here. Like, just take
the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a bit of a dumbass in a way that, yeah, my Nigerian pragmatism can't relate to. So he's hanging out with his boy, Ice Cube Jr. And he's like, all right, let's hang out today. We're going to drink some CBD tea. And then we're going to go see Boys to Men. And I was like, that's a great day.
That's a pretty great day. You can't get mad at that day. Also, would love to see Boys to Men.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Boys to Men song?
I mean, it's just like their like top hits. Which is, I have no deep cuts of Boys to Men, so I always hate having to like actually give anything. So it's just like end of the road.
How often are you asked your favorite Boys to Men song?
I mean, well, it's just that, like, you know, when someone asks, like, what's your favorite, like, Led Zeppelin song? And you're just like, oh, it's
people
like,
don't ask me, what's my favorite?
And people are like, well, whatever. Or like, what's your favorite Jay-Z song? And you're like, 99.
Oh, wow, like, okay, well, Garrett. Congrats. Jesus.
It's your, like, it's your, you know, it's the song that everyone knows. So it's just like, yeah, it'd be nice to have a B-side, but it's really not that. Or like, On Bended Knee is kind of cool, but yeah. I think those are my two.
Yeah. And if anytime somebody leaves a job, I play End of the Road, like, out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think in my goodbye email from my last job, I had End of the Road.
You did it to yourself, I'm pretty sure.
Actually, no, that was the Lion King song from when Simba ascends to the throne. But End of the Road was a possible second choice. So they go there to the Boyz II Men charity, WWF, World Wildlife Funds, not World Wrestling Federation, gala fundraiser bullshit thing. It's like, oh, we're raising money. It's the same way fucking fraternities and sororities and IFC raise money. It's like, we're having fun and somehow this helps. Okay. Met Gala bullshit. Thanks, AOC. And the, I see.
Nothing says fuck the rich quite like protesting.
Showing up really there.
Expensive dress at a multimillionaire's events as a multimillionaire.
Well, I don't think she's a multimillionaire, but still, there are people outside protesting the Met Gala, and she's supposedly with the shits. It's like, oh, well, I was invited and it was free. It's like, fine, it's free.
She 100% watches the Hunger Games and is like, it's me.
Oh, she thinks she's Katniss?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has a degree of main character syndrome. But yeah, that, and overall, I think she's trying her best. That was just a faux pas. By the time this episode comes out, this will be old news. But whatever. I spoke truth to power on a podcast you'll never hear.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm Seth Rogen. I look over, I see Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron's looking at me. It's like, oh my God, we know each other because she was my babysitter when I was 13.
That seems too old for a babysitter. That was my first gripe with that.
I had an older brother. So it's like, but when I was 13, he was 15. So I definitely wasn't being babysat, but 13, eighth grade and middle school. So I was a latchkey kid. So you don't need a
baby. I think after like sixth grade, that shit went out the window. Fifth grade, somewhere around middle school is like, that's, we're done with that.
Once you no longer want to be around your parents, I don't think you need a babysitter.
There you go.
I don't think that's a hard and fast rule. I don't have children. So
also, if that happens in second grade, it's definitely not a hard and fast rule.
I think second graders still, like, I sure do seek my parents' approval more than anything. It's not get out of my room, mom, dad, slam door quite yet. I never slammed a door in my house, or if I did it once. But
I only got away with that like once or twice before the ass whooping came.
Wait, did your parents spank you?
Only like a handful of times. It was more of the verbal ass whooping of don't you dare slam a damn door or we're gonna end you. And I was like, okay, fair.
Yeah, I chime in with the habit you people ever heard of, quietly closing the door. Off the top,
respectfully.
Respectfully
love closing the door.
Yeah, exactly. Hashtag respectfully. All right. So the backstory of how they know each other and why it's awkward for him. It shouldn't be awkward for him. It should still be awkward for him. Seth Rogen's they got this little chubby little actor to play 13-year-old Seth Rogen and 16-year-old Charlize Theron. She's like, I'm running for student council and I'm my president and I should be president because I want to recycle. And we're throwing out a lot of shit that's recyclable. And Seth Rogen's like, that's great. Tries to kiss her. And then has a 13-year-old erection. And she's like, that's fine. Or rather, that's okay. Which O'Shea Jackson Jr. was like, oh, that's a positive. It's like, okay, it's not positive.
Yeah. I'm tolerating it. I'm not like inviting it.
Enthused. Yeah, but fine. He received neutral, which is more than he could have hoped for. And then her boyfriend, who's in the other room, 16-year-old boyfriend in the room, he was watching Blossom. He comes in the room, is like, this guy's got a 13-year-old erection. And so he's scarred for life from that. Fair, valid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's why he's embarrassed to meet her now as a grown-ass man.
Which is kind of stupid, but also I get it. Because, like, if your old babysitter is the Secretary of State and the last time you saw her, you had an unwanted erection.
Maybe that can't be the last time he saw her, though.
What, the next day? She's just like, hey, here to babysit you. Please contain your 13-year-old erection.
Or the next week, right? If they're next door neighbors, same school district, 16.
No, you can't outrun that shit.
They'll see each other for at least another 2-ish years.
Fuck me.
Yeah. So fine. That's what's happening in their world. But he's afraid to see her, but then she sends the Secret Service after him, and it's like, not after him. Secretary Fields would like to speak with you. And they speak, like, oh my god, we recognize each other, catch up. Then also Parker Wembley is there. Do you recognize the actor who's playing Parker Wembley, asshole media mogul?
No, I don't. At least if I did, it didn't stand out to me. Who is it?
Think Apes Together Strong.
Oh, Andy Serkis?
Yes.
Holy shit. It is so weird seeing Andy Serkis not be, well, actually on camera and not as like the voice and body behind some really complex CGI bullshit.
It's like he refuses to look like himself. He's always doing, yeah. Wait, what's your favorite Andy Serkis though?
I mean, it has to be Gollum, right? Like,
there's also Caesar.
Maybe I'm in the minority here, but I just did not really get into the Planet of the Apes movies. Like, technically, it's cool because you're like, holy shit, those really look like apes. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. It just never did it for me. I never even saw the third one. The first one with James Franco, I think, is where I just was like, I don't really give a shit about this.
Yeah.
And then the second one was good, but just not good enough to get me into the third.
Okay.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
This is some other Andy Serkis spots we've seen. He was in the new Star Wars movies as Snoke. He was in Black Panther and Age of Ultron as Ulysses Klaue. Planet of the Apes, he's Caesar. He's Gollum. Yeah, those are the main ones. I don't think I'm missing any big ones.
No.
He was in The Prestige. Okay, I'll Google that later.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and he was in 13 Going on 30 as the boss.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I barely do.
Yeah, no, Gollum for the win. That's about it. Yeah,
that's fair. That's true. That's what got him the big money. The respect. Fine, so Seth Rogen, he can't let anything go because this is definitely not the time nor the place. But he's like, hey, Parker Wembley, you suck. And Parker Wembley's like, goodbye, and walks away. It's like, yep, that went how you thought it would go. And then this motherfucker trips down like a whole flight of stairs, and Daniel curb stomps himself on the Boys to Men stage.
Which, I don't know. Something about a pratfall for me just doesn't really work. Like, there were a couple moments in this movie where I was like, I know I'm supposed to be laughing because you've set this up in such a way that it's like,
it's a joke.
But like, look at this. He's dressed like a jackass and we're at a public event. Like,
Mm-hmm. You know, and after that scene, I was like, man, this pairing would never work. And I was like, well, the movie's fucking called Long Shot. So,
Yeah.
But that happens. And meanwhile, Secretary of State Charlize Theron, her whole team has been like, we're now worrying about your presidential run, and here are your numbers, because we're going to micromanage every aspect of your personality, because you are the brand, you are the commodity.
Which is so psychotic, because this shit definitely happens, where it's like, people like your looks at 12 or a 9, but they don't like your humor an 8, and then they think that if you date anyone between the heights of 5'6 and 5'10 is fine, but if you go below 5'6 they hate you now, and if you go above 5'10, that way, it's just like they get so into the weeds that it's just you have to construct this, like, you know what it is? Presidential races are a lot like modern car design, where it's like you can't have any personality or anything unique about you whatsoever, because it's like the airbag has to go here, the front bumper has to be 18 inches off the ground, so everyone just ends up with like basically a Camry, but they decided to put a different air vent here just to like mix it up, or like pick a color that you don't normally see, and it's like, woo, we're unique. It's like, okay, well, yeah. I guess it's Joe Biden for me.
That and how much
of this I'm not enthused, but I guess this is me.
Or this fucking stupid ass recall election. Did you please tell me you voted?
I did.
Okay. Did you know? No further questions.
I just love Bocum wants the ambiguity so he can try to paint me into a corner.
No. I want the ambiguity because I don't want to know. I know.
He already assumes the worst.
I don't assume the worst. I grew up in Texas, right? And I have a lot of people in my life who helped me get to where I am. And I would hate to know their current political standings, you know? So I don't ask questions and don't dig, because then it's like, tap dancing Christ. I don't want to. Turns out that fourth grade teacher who meant the world to you was out here saying, make America great again. It'll break my fucking. It's like finding out Santa smokes crack. Okay. So never meet your heroes.
I'm not smoking. Yeah. I'm not smoking crack, but we're on the same side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you're not smoking. Wait. Ketamine?
I mean, who doesn't love the K-hole?
Yeah. Listen. This morning on my timeline.
Favorite cereal is Special K.
Shout out Mel Magazine. It's like GQ if they're on the internet too much and also sometimes hated men. But it's like, the headline. How addicting is ketamine, comma, really?
Wait, is that actually a real article?
Yeah, that's a real article. If the headline makes me laugh, I want to click, you know? And they get into shit like that. So Mel Magazine, it's fascinating content. So fine. Her humor score isn't where they like it. So let's get that humor score bumped up. They're looking for speech writers who are funny. She just ran into Seth Rogen, who is a journalist who's between jobs. She reads a shit. He is funny, although he's like Bernie Sanders minus 40 years with a bigger chip on his shoulder. But between that and the fact that he quietly has like a 1% hard on for him. So she's like, oh yeah, let's get a Flarsky in this mix. And her chief of staff is like, fuck that guy. I hate him.
The jump for reasons I can't really come to other than that she just doesn't want him there.
Yeah, that actress, June Diane Raphael, we've seen her in a million things. I have. She was, sorry. Wait, let me try. Long Shot, Blockers, Anchorman 2. Oh, yeah. Bride Wars, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Zodiac. Okay. And a bunch of TV.
I've seen her in a lot of shit.
Kroll Show, Inside Amy Schumer, Parks and Rec, BoJack Horseman, The League, Grace and Frankie. She does a lot of TV. She's a journeyman. She got a fuck ton of roles. A lot of six.
She's the Ryan Fitzpatrick of acting.
She's not that old.
I just mean journeyman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. fine. So he's now helping punch up her speeches. Mm-hmm. He has much more access than any newly hired speechwriter should have. It's a movie.
Or would ever have.
I mean. Yeah.
But also they've known each other since high school. So like you probably do get a little bit of like a, you know.
Yeah, he's got a bump yet. He gets a bump because he's got inside access. He knew her, you know, before the fame, the glitz and the glamour.
Back he's seen school. His 13-year-old erection and now he gets to be a speechwriter. And that's how the world works, honestly.
His dick wasn't out.
Well, it was assumed.
What? No, what's your stance here?
My stance is she saw his erection and now he gets to be a speechwriter. What part of this is confusing?
Okay, yeah. But I was like, are you implying that you think he did it? He previous to the scene did a tuck up, but then inadvertently that led to a peek out. And I was like, whoa, that's a lot of, it's not on the tape.
I just like that we've come up with the terms tuck up and peek out.
You know what a tuck up is? That's common parlance.
Boca, can we please explain what a tuck up is, Boca?
Wait, do you not know what it is?
For the fans?
Is this what
the same? Maybe we should explain it for the fans.
Okay, so a tuck up is the idea of, oh, you don't want to be, you don't want a Ron Burgundy type beat where it's like, uh-oh,
exactly.
I now have a very visible erection. So a tuck up is when you tuck your flaccid penis up into the waistband of your drawers.
Flaccid?
I mean, it's frankly simpler to do a tuck up whilst erect. However, If you're leading with some preemptive thought here, that'll get you. Yeah, just have it pointed in that direction.
You're assuming a worst case scenario, so at least guide it to where it needs to go.
So we go up instead of out, right?
There we go. Yeah.
But so from what you were saying, I was like, wait, do you believe he did a tuck up prior to the snap, and then that led to, unfortunately, like maybe a peek out.
What is a peek out for the fans?
It's like a prairie dog in, but for the head.
Can we get that on a shirt?
It's quote, it's like prairie dog in, but for the head?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, so you're the merch man. Okay, he just got hired, right? He's now on the campaign trail, or she's going on like a mini country tour. So like, I'm pitching this environmental thing about the trees, the bees, and the seas. Trying to save them all. Important, necessary. Question. Why is this the Secretary of State's thing?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that she was doing that I was like, maybe I'm just ill-informed about what the Secretary of State does, and that's probably very much true. But also, none of this shit feels like stuff the Secretary of State would be doing.
Well, I mean, the Secretary of State, they're like diplomatic foreign relations chief person. but
like, are they setting like environmental policy? I'm not really sure. Anyway, let's not get in the weeds. The point is, he's basically like, okay, I'll punch your, well, first off, I don't know if I want to take the job, but secondly, like, okay, we'll punch this shit up, but like, is any of this actually going to happen? Like, is it just one of those things where everything sounds good on paper and then eventually the, like, you know, free healthcare for small children bill is just filled with, like, you know, oil tax exemptions and how much we can possibly fuck over the children but keep the name Save the Children Act or whatever.
Jesus.
And she's like, no, it's like, it's perfect on paper. And he's like, no, like, everything starts out perfect on paper, yada yada yada. Anyway, I'll take the job.
Yeah, because there's also two separate ways to ask that question. Are you in good faith attempting to enact change with this, which I believe she is, because she does care. She's always cared about the environment. Will other people get in the way, ruin your idea, sand the edges off, and make this a shitty soft dick thing? That's out of her control. And so, yes, but he kind of acts like a child. And is like, because we've moved forward. We're now in Sweden. I'm part of this tour, trying to get countries to sign on to this thing. And so he's dressed as like a traditional Swedish suit because the chief of staff at the Secretary of State is like, let's make this guy look like a doofus. And this man somehow refuses to bring anything along besides joggers and windbreakers.
It's big Adam Sandler energy with just wanting to wear like big baggy shitty clothes, except you don't have $450 million.
No, I don't even hate the clothes, right? I'm a big fan of joggers. I'm wearing joggers right now.
Well, same, but like fit the room.
Fit the fucking room, man. You're an adult. Forget this Arrested Development shit. You own a suit. You've been to a wedding. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah.
So whatever, movie magic. And so it's like, all right, while you're out here dressed like a Count Chocula's side piece, a piece of this, which piece of the bill got taken off? Was it it wasn't the bees.
It's the C.
Which is, that is the biggest piece.
And he has a good argument, which is like, it is literally 75% of the earth. So like, of the trees, bees, and seas, we've removed the biggest impact of anything.
Yeah, right. Because like, India didn't want to sign on to whatever sort of restrictions they want to do. Probably like fishing or deep sea drilling or just like, whatever.
Throw shit in the water. We don't care. It's one of those three.
So it's bad that it's taken out.
Yeah.
But the way he goes about trying to rectify this or trying to come up or deal with it is so fucking juvenile.
He literally runs into their conference room, or not the dining hall where she's going to give the speech, and steals his own laptop, which I guess he was under the assumption was the only way that they could ever have the speech, like they wouldn't have printed it off, and then runs back outside, throws it in the fucking snow, just destroying his own laptop, which honestly, great plan.
Brilliant, it wouldn't have genius. It wouldn't have even automatically destroyed it. It's like, it landed on the snow. It's like, okay.
Also, this movie came out in 2019. So I'm like, the internet definitely exists. This shit's on Drive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they're on Office Suite and he hadn't uploaded it to OneDrive, but whatever.
That whole sentence made me just get pained.
Was it triggering?
He binged it to OneDrive using Outlook and the
Office. Don't use Outlook. Shut up.
I know, it's the only thing that I use though.
Yeah, it looks fine, honestly. That's the
one thing they got.
Yeah. Hey, PowerPoint. PowerPoint lets you do more shit than slides.
Who needs it, you know?
Fine. That's extremely unimportant. So they're like, Fred, shut the fuck up. This is happening. Tighten the fuck up or you're out. And that's fine. And so And the speech goes over well because it's like, yo, talk more about yourself and tell jokes. And the jokes were tepid as shit. But I think when the room is expecting no jokes, any jokes, they're like, oh, thank God. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a funny priest.
I'm exactly. Mm-hmm. Or like any teacher who can actually like crack one tepid mild joke. Well, it depends on the age, because if you're a teacher that tries to tell a joke in middle school, you might as well just kill yourself.
Oh God, my shout out Mr. Bingenheimer. I hated him. Eighth grade science teacher. He loved jokes and he wasn't funny. Or rather, he wasn't funny to 13-year-olds. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who is besides like fucking
South I felt Park? So bad. This is a stupid story, but I felt so bad. It was like, I think it was seventh grade, and there was a me and a girl that I liked were passing notes back and forth. And one of the notes was how we thought our math teacher looked at the type of guy that would try to drug us and kidnap us. And we had like just started, it was like a week into the semester. And I was like, I'm genuinely afraid of the vibe of this guy. And so he like intercepts the note and is like, well, let's read it in the class. And I'm like, and he changes the whole note. He changes the whole note to like something stupid that was like so corny about like, let's go make out after school or something. And like, we're both looking at each other like, we just called you basically like a, you know, child predator. And
he read it.
Can't not impact. Yeah, exactly. And he definitely read that shit. So that's fine. It's not like he was also our math teacher in high school.
Wait, so you had him for multiple years?
He transferred schools.
Oh, he Mr. Feeny'd you.
He Mr. Feeny'd me. I was like, I'm out. I no longer have to have this awkward fucking, you know, glances in the hallway or like whenever I take a test, it's like, I might have called you a child predator in seventh grade. Oh, good. It's 11th grade. It's still you.
Oh, well, that's 4 years later. He remembers. I mean,
you remember. You never unremember.
Right. So it's montage time. Time for these characters to fall in love. Because remember, this is the bromance podcast. We're doing rom-coms.
Yeah.
And we'll talk all about how Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen's unlikely pairing grows to fruition when we come back from this commercial break. And we're back. So Seth Rogen made a fool of himself in Sweden, somehow didn't lose his job, and we're about to montage these two getting to know each other again. Seth Rogen realizes that in order to write for somebody, it's easier if you know them. So his first question in the attempt to build this relationship is, so what are you into? That's a great first date question.
Not only that, but while she's doing her first tricep extensions on a plane, which is complete sociopathic behavior.
Which part?
I mean,
she's exercising?
Hysterical, but but it's like she literally is at her desk like typing and he's like, let me ask you a few questions. And so it's like, we can't just have downtime. We have to like maximize every second of the day. So we have to move right into a 2-pound tricep extension because, you know, got to be swole.
Well, that's her job. You know, she's like extremely busy. Secretary of State seems hard. I don't think I'd want that job.
Honestly, any political office seems like a nightmare.
Yeah. So they spend time getting to know each other in the context of like him getting to know Charlotte more for the writing and they grow closer. Right. For example, he shares this personal anecdote. Wait, no, this came later, but I want to share it now. Seth Rogen's character. When I was 12, I peed on a dog to impress an older kid. The dog didn't like it. The older kid didn't either. It was pointless. There are a lot of great one-liners like that in this movie.
What was the point of that story?
I forget the context. I wrote it in my notes and I was like, well, let me get this in here because it's good. But fine, that happens, right? And they're in the Philippines. So listen, if you took notes, you could share your funny quotes from the movie too.
I mean, that is one day it'll happen. It's happened intermittently. Honestly, the only times I really need notes are the times when I apparently watch the movie drunk.
Well, but then you're not going to want to remember to take notes to begin with. So,
exactly. Plus, they'd all be shitty notes.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't great, frankly. They're in the Philippines. They're in Manila, and there's a coup. I don't know if Duterte was president at the time. I don't think it's trying to do any sort of real life tie-in. But their compound gets shot at and attacked by insurgents or revolutionaries or war is complicated. You know, who knows who's
somebody.
Right here. Yeah, somebody starts shooting
stuff.
Yeah, and so they're running, and the Secret Service, they're trying to firemen carry the Secret Service agents that got attacked, and they're just, like, stuck in, like, a storeroom, and they're having a panic, or rather, Seth Rogen's having a panic attack, like, we almost died, oh my god, that was crazy, and then they kind of make out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, go ahead.
In the classic vein of, if you ever want both your main characters to make out a little bit, have some shit explode, because, you know, every Transformers movie really added that level of romance when a giant 1900-pound... What?
They gave us a foundation. They knew each other. There was already attraction. And they've been getting to know each other over the course of a montage.
I honestly thought it was a dream. I was like, there's no way there's an actual, like there's not gunfire and explosions in this movie. Somebody's going to wake up and this was a fever dream. Nope, actually this happened.
Oh, wait, was this your first time watching the movie?
Oh, yeah. I had never seen it.
Oh, okay. I'd seen it once before, so I knew the gist. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, every movie I picked this season, I've never seen before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I probably watched it. I love watching movies on airplanes, you know, the way Christopher Nolan
works. Oh, same.
Yeah. Yeah, because it forces you, you know, otherwise I might
get... I don't want to call them good movies, but it's like, I'm not going to watch, like, you know, if I'd never seen Inception, I'm not going to watch it on a plane.
Oh.
Like, if I'm like, I want to digest, like, I still haven't seen Tenet, because the only time I've, like, for some reason ever had it as an option, it's always been on a plane. I'm like, nah, I already have heard you can't really hear anyone talk in this movie. I'm not going to try to hear them talk over the music and a jet engine.
One of the great things after Christopher Nolan was like, the only way to watch Tenet is in an IMAX theater with a blah, 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 with the pristine conditions. And then people are like, what's the most convoluted way I can watch Tenet? It's like, here's me watching Tenet on my Nintendo Switch. Here's me watching Tenet on my Zune. Here's me watching Tenet on like a on like one of those portable TVs that would be in the kitchen in the 90s and shit like that, just to piss him off. And now he's at fucking Universal. So Christopher Nolan, we'll see if he can ever find peace. First, the they make out. Who among us? And so they make out. Then they get taken to a secondary location away from all the fighting shit on some like remote island, which is hot. And then they're like fucking. And they both finish in like 10 seconds. And
don't they both say like bruh or something? Like they both make the same noise. And he's like,
oh boy.
Yeah. Was that it?
Like, yeah. Seth Rogen's like, I'm about to finish. And she's like, actually, me too. And then they both do it at the same time. They're like, oh boy, together. It's like, that's love. That's what love looks like.
Yeah. 10 seconds of sex, just insertion. And everyone goes, oh boy.
Yeah. And then they fuck again more and whatever. And they're on an island and shit, and it's gorgeous. It's like, oh, time to go back to the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And so they after they do that and they start their relationship. And meanwhile, the chief of staff is like, the public will never accept you two as a couple. He's too frumpy. He's like Danny DeVito mixed with a potato.
They start running through options where it was like I don't know, just they'd pick some sort of celebrity, and then they'd be like, you know, or like famous person, so it'd be like, you know, Margaret Thatcher or whatever, it'd be like dating a potato. No one wants
First off, Margaret Thatcher nobody wants, period. Yeah. Do you know, like, Ding Dong the Witch is Dead charted after she passed?
Actually,
yes.
Damn, Iron Lady did not work out.
Not at all. But yeah, so the numbers said this relationship won't work. And she's like, damn the numbers, I like him. And it's like, way to stand by your not man yet, by the way. Y'all are whatever. They're into each other.
Way to stand by the speech writer you're having sex with.
Yeah. Is he still even writing? He's probably still writing.
He's either writing or he's writing, but he's doing something.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the president is like, hey, so we need you to take the trees part out of this whole environmental thing. This dumbass doesn't even know what's happening. It's like, yeah, get rid of the trees shit. He's like, we already kind of got rid of the seas. We can't get rid of the trees because then all we have left is the bees. And bees are great, but definitely the least important piece of this thing. Fuck this. Fred, let's go get high off ecstasy and drink a lot. Or Molly, rather. Is Molly ecstasy?
I think... ecstasy is like Molly mixed with methamphetamine, and I think Molly is just pure MDMA.
Oh, okay. All right, so they do that, and they're having fun in France. And then the Secret Service is like, hey, we need you to handle this international diplomatic crisis. Where's the president? Maybe sometimes the chief of staff or the secretary of state handles this shit. Maybe.
But yeah, this feels presidential to me. This does not feel like the Secretary of State.
Yeah. Made up Central Asian, Middle Eastern country. Oh no, we had a guy taking photos high up and his plane landed in this country and this country doesn't like us, so we need to get him back. But the president allegedly made fun of this country's leader over Instagram. So unfortunately, this movie is very prescient. No, it came out during the Trump era, I guess. So maybe that's exactly why I had a dumbass president who came from TV. And
yeah, and now wants to go back to movies, if only.
No, fuck that too. I hope to never see Donald Trump again in my life. Yeah.
Well, no, I just bet it would have been hysterical if like a year into his presidency, he's like, I'm actually gonna leave this fucking thing. I want to go make movies. Home Alone 2? Let's make Home Alone. Well, I guess they made
it. Yeah, I was gonna say they did do the sequels already. Did you see it? Yeah, do you see Home Alone 3?
But they had a new kid for Home Alone 3, right?
Yeah, it was Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, I watched it, but I didn't like it because it wasn't Macaulay.
You're in it for Macaulay.
You're in it for Macaulay. It'd be like having a new Die Hard movie, and it's just some bald guy.
You cut out there for a second, so I was just going to talk over you. I didn't hesitate either. I was really just fuck it. It's the Boca show now, baby. So, all right. I saw this international crisis high off of Molly. The reporters afterwards, like, so it should not be this public that this was solved, by the way. There should not be news that this happened. But for some reason, it's news like, hey, we're spying on this foreign country, but our Secretary of State got the guy back. Hooray. Interview wouldn't fucking happen. Yeah, I did that shit. Also, we're still going to do the bees, trees, and the seas. Fuck this president. / he has my back. Deuces. President Bob Odenkirk is like, hey, Charlize Theron, can you come here for a second? Surprise secret door in the Oval Office. It's Parker Wembley, Andy Serkis, who's actually one of my big financial backers. And he's like, hey, we need the tree shit gone because we want to start a server farm in Alaska. She's like, can't you move the server farm? And he's like, no, fuck you. Get down or lay down.
How else are we going to keep the servers cool than the free cold of Alaska? Because that's the only place you can have a server farm.
That seems to almost be what the movie was implying. Like, we need the server farm somewhere cold. It's like, that's air conditioning, motherfucker.
Honestly, let's just melt the ice caps faster and just place it directly in Antarctica and save us all the time.
Exactly. So they're doing that. And it's like, all right. Oh, you don't want to go down with this? Well, we hacked into your pseudo boyfriend's webcam. Extremely illegal, but I mean, it's the president, so they break the law all the time. And we have, if you don't ease up on this shit, we're going to release this video from his webcam of him masturbating to your speech. And then somehow his, what's a polite word for semen? I guess semen. His semen gets in his own goddamn beard. Ew, you're an adult.
Also, the velocity on that thing.
I suppose that's why it happened, but he wasn't prepped at all.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, this, he's a man-child in so many ways. Like, is this your first time masturbating, Seth Rogen? Get it together. That's what you were thinking.
Put a hairnet like what I do.
Not a hairnet over this beard, but it's like, what, he's just free shooting in this? Oh, don't free shoot in a hotel room. Talk about somebody else going to come in here and clean that up. That's fucking rude, you know? You know,
hashtag free shooting.
Free shooting, you know, he's not aiming down sight from the hip. And so both because A, she wants the endorsement, and B, she doesn't want this video to come out. She fine, no more seas and no more trees. So it's all about the bees, baby. But you got to remember, said Seth Rogen's character, Fred Flarsky, he's very
idealistic,
idealistic to the point of being a child. But also, it's like, Jesus Christ, if we had three things in this plan, we lost two. This is bullshit. And so Fred is pissed about it. And he's like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm quitting both. You're a sellout. And I'm not going to. And she also gives this ultimatum.
Because she wants to, for him to, work with their whole. With her whole campaign and not cost her votes. It's like, we have to kind of re-engineer who you are so we can present a cleaned up version of you to the general public. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so the bill doesn't even exist. And then we're going to reintroduce me as a stripped down version of myself that isn't even actually me. So I can't ever be myself again. And we're going to kind of whitewash my history. So it's like, there's no, any of my work is probably not even going to be able to be found because there's certain things that I've worked on that we just won't want made known. So therefore, everything I've worked for won't happen. Who I am can't fit in. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, even the bill we're working on is just bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, fuck that to hell for all those reasons you just listed. And so they're kind of break up. And so Fred's back in New York, not working with a bomb apartment though.
Yeah, everyone in every single rom-com always has a multi-million dollar apartment, regardless of their wage. No matter how much money they make or don't make, it's baller as shit.
We need to search the shittiest rom-com apartment. I'm trying to think off the top if any come to mind. Nothing in particular.
It wasn't shitty, but in Trainwreck, I remember Amy Schumer's apartment seemed realistic.
Yeah.
The doctor's was baller, but he was also a top sports surgeon.
So sports doctor. Yeah, that's even all about the money.
If you're operating on LeBron James, you have fuck you money.
Mm-hmm. And so fine, he's back with O'Shea Jackson Jr. And O'Shea Jackson Jr. is like, hey, that seems like a good time to tell you I'm a Republican. Yeah. And a Christian, which you're Jewish, like it's adjacent, but more upset about the Republicanist stuff. And he's like, huh, this is telling me to stop being so stubborn with my principles and see
walk
things
across the aisle.
Yeah.
Poke up Ralph's eyes.
I rolled my eyes hella hard. It's like both sidesism is a thing, you know, where it's like, hey, there's the guy who mugged you, Garrett, but also, or you got mugged, but hey, think about the guy who mugged you. Yes, there's two sides to a story. Are they equally valid? Not automatically, but that's separate from him just being a general. He's talking about picking yourself up by your bootstraps in this movie and shit. Whatever, whatever. It's a rom-com, so both people need to change. And so Fred's, yeah. Oh, let me see outside myself. And then Charlize Theron is, what was her big change? She's like, hey, Canadian Prime Minister is a stand-in for Justin Trudeau. You have an ugly laugh and you're slurping oysters, so I don't want you anymore.
Yeah. Well, let me just make sure to put a wall around the guy who everyone's trying to get me to be with.
Yeah. Yeah. Ironically, that really speaks to the idea of timing. If he tried to slide, maybe like before all that shit happened, he could have slid, but yeah. Timing, baby.
And then does anything happen before she just goes ahead and gives the speech?
No. Yeah. It's basically the ideas run past like, hey, we can treat him like a mistress and all that shit. But then she's like, all right, presidential speech, time to say I'm running for president in 2020. And she's up there giving her speech. And then she has like a come to Jesus moment. And he's like, you know what? Fuck this shit. The president's a dumbass and he's owned by Parker Wembley. And we're trying to save the environment. And also you're about to see a video of a man ejaculating on his own face. Mic drop.
Well, yeah, because like they're going to blackmail me and they're going to show my boyfriend jerking off, but all of you jerk off, so it doesn't even matter. And I'm just like, okay, that's all fair. But like, if this was an actual run for president, well, first off, this is the dumbest thing of the entire thing. Andy Serkis then immediately is like, release the video. She did the thing. Which is the stupidest thing you can do, because now it validates that you 100%, the president of the United States was in fact blackmailing her with a jerk off video. If you don't release it, she just seems like a lunatic.
Oh yeah.
So it's like the move is you don't release it.
That
you
is
don't
a great
then actually
point.
Release it, and now you are the jackass. The story is now shifted to the leader of the free world is blackmailing his staff with jerk off videos.
Yeah, it's like if that's just one jerk off video, how many more jerk off videos are out there
that you got illegally?
Yeah, that you got to. Ooh, yeah, Garrett, that's a great point. I never thought of that.
Right, political suicide.
Yeah, and so I guess that explains how she wins. Because like, oh, he's like, I'm a run to
well,
her.
He isn't even running again.
Yeah, well, okay, no, but she's still got to win a presidential election. There's going to be other.
I don't know. So, but it's just like I don't know. We don't have to get into the weeds of it. But I'm just like I feel like the family values people would go through the fucking roof.
Yeah, but
she's a jerk off.
Presumably it's a Democratic president because she's a Democrat because she's trying to save the environment, right?
Yeah.
And so it's 2020, so her primary challengers would be like, who the fuck was it? Biden, Warren, Kamala Harris, Sanders, Buttigieg, fucking Klobuchar, who I totally forgot about. Was that Klobuchar? Yeah, remember her? And so all of them, and I don't know where she falls within the spectrum. But we kind of just fast forward. We go from, we're together and the public knows about it and he's my man and I'm stand by him, even if it's political suicide, to her getting sworn in.
Yeah. And then he's the first man.
He calls and himself then, the first mister.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And like then I like child. He's going to the hall of like all the first ladies' portraits. And then he's like, and then here's mine. I got it done by Todd McFarlane, who's famous for drawing Spawn.
Yeah.
Like, and he's just like holding a bald eagle, like standing on like a battlefield, holding an American flag in the other hand and like screaming.
Yeah. Some people are children, you know?
Honestly, I've gotten me thinking, like, could you actually, like, what are the rules in who you can pick to be your portrait?
What we learned from 16 to 20 is there are a lot fewer things are explicitly rules and more just best practices set by people who tried not to suck that can be abused by people who are dumbasses. So you're allowed
to. I think I'd go with Todd McFarlane. I would go full comic book for the
Don't do this for the podcast. Okay, respect yourself. You wouldn't do that.
I might do it. We don't know.
Well, okay. That's never going to happen.
I'm going to go with whoever drew the characters in Family Guy.
Do you even like Spawn? Oh, Family Guy might be worse. It's an ugly. No,
Family Guy would be way worse. It's not. Yeah. It's not even. It's not even. There's not even detail to it. It's just like, here's my. I feel like South Park would even be a better portrait than Family Guy.
Like if we're going for, oh, I need to pick an adult animated cartoon style for which my presidential portrait is modeled after. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Archer.
I knew you were going to say Archer.
Because everyone in Archer looks good.
It is true. Still go Todd McFarlane.
If you have to fuck a cartoon, it's going to be Archer versus like fucking Todd McFarlane's Family Guy, South Park, even The Simpsons. Hell, BoJack Horseman, yeah, that's not cute.
No, that's also, yeah, bestiality.
Yeah. Well, not okay, everyone fair. In BoJack is an animal.
No, that's fair. Just the important people.
Yeah, okay. Who did you love here, Garrett?
I mean, we always try to go with the main people, but I mean, like, for the chemistry they had to have, I think it like held up. I mean, I guess I'll go with Usher Jackson.
Oh, young Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
which he was like every scene he was in, I feel like he actually kind of stole. So that's my favorite. Also.
The One Republican, interesting.
Watching him be like, I'm a young Republican, and I'm like, that would have been fucking hysterical, I'm sure, for him to actually have to do.
Yeah. He's like, as it coming out.
Yeah, there's no way Young Ice Cube is like, or, you know.
It's acting. I mean, Bob Odenkirk's not a mook either, so. And Seth Rogen doesn't have that big of a chip on his shoulder, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. The Prime Minister of Canada, he was a decent guy. He was a little
Have
horny.
You seen skinny shaved Seth Rogen?
Not shaved. Was this for like the GQ photo shoot?
No, it's for some role that he's doing. It looked insane.
Oh, I bet I'll hate it, won't I?
You will. You will.
Send it to me later.
I will.
Anyone else you loved?
I mean, outside of the main two now. Oh, it was funny. We skipped over, but it was funny that the aides were having sex with each other.
Oh, yeah. June Diane Raphael's character, along with the other guy who Tom is his name in the movie. So they were great. I like the Canadian Prime Minister. Do they last? Does this couple last?
I kind of don't see it.
You're not allowed to get divorced when you're president.
Is that actually a law?
It's not a law, but Hillary Clinton stayed with Bill Clinton. So you're not allowed to get divorced when you're president.
I almost feel like that's just because there has to be some sort of like mutually assured destruction built into that marriage at this point.
How? I don't understand. With Hillary and Bill?
Mm-hmm.
What if she loves him? Oh, that's a little depressing.
Oh, yeah, that's really depressing.
That's on some Jolene shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's... I don't think long-term, I'm not sure that it works.
They it's like, oh, opposites attract. It's like, this opposite? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going with now. Are you going with now?
I'm going with... What? No, yeah, they don't...
See, you want them to.
I want all of them to last, you know? Has there ever been a time where I've rooted against... I'm probably forgetting one rom-com where I've rooted against the relationship flat out.
Not but... a girl.
Yeah. But that was because, like, one character... Yeah, whatever. So not even Hill, perhaps. Rate the movie 1 to 10.
I'm going to give it 2 scores because I rewatched parts of it this morning. I'm going to give it a drunk 7 and a sober 8.
Oh, okay. That's pretty... Wait. Why'd you like it more when you're sober?
I don't know. It's like, it held my attention better. When I was drunk, I was like, this is boring. What's happening? Why are there explosions?
I think I just give it a 7. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So drunk me is sober you. Perfect. Now we know.
What does that mean?
We both enjoyed this movie the exact same amount, but I had to be drunk to get to that score.
Okay. I'll dig no deeper. So that's Long Shot. Thank you everyone for listening to this nonsense. We'll be back next week with Couples Retreat. Yeah, with a special guest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I picked that one. I know. Well, because I was like, let me pick something that I'm pretty sure is going to be dog shit because it'll be content. And here we go.
Wait, do you know it's dog shit?
Let's not spoil the ending here, but let me look it up. I think I saw the reviews were like absolutely just the fucking worst. Actually, IMDb gave. Oh yeah, it has a 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Garrett, do us both a favor. In the future, don't pick shitty movies.
But it's content.
We talk more. If you look back, we talk more when the movie's good.
Actually, that might be true. Well, it's either like Warm Bodies for me was just literally not like the pun. It was like lukewarm shitty. Where it's like, it's shitty, but it's not shitty enough to be interesting. Mm. When it's shitty enough to be interesting, I feel like we get content. When it's like Serendipity, it's like, can we just get this over in 40 minutes? Because there's no way in hell I want to talk about this movie any longer than I absolutely have to.
We went on for 2 hours for When Harry Met Sally. We went on for like an hour and a half for Boomerang. Good movies are good for the show too. And they're easier to watch.
Fine.
Literally our guests. That is true. Our guests, they already, I'm not spoiling it yet. Surprise guest. But they text me when they're watching Couples Retreat, like, yo, this shit's ass.
Yeah.
So thanks for forcing that upon all of us.
I haven't seen it, but I can't wait.
Oh, boy. Well, you can follow us at Podcast Bromance. Oh, we didn't even say, we just passed 2 years. We passed 2 years this past week. But yeah, two years of this shit, dude. Yeah. Do you want to...
Hey, look at that.
Got anything to say for our anniversary, Garrett?
Why don't you ever look me in the eyes anymore?
All right, goodbye.
What do you got, Boca?
No.
Bye.
Bromance Podcast is sponsored by listeners like you and by Golden Lux Candles. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Want that love that you see in the rom-coms? Check out Golden Lux Candles. We have intentional candles ready to be set. They're featuring their That's the Way Love Goes candle right now on their website. This candle is charged with the intention of love. Are you looking to open your heart to love? Whether your intention is self-love, platonic love, romantic love. Okay, I'm sorry. This is more times I've said love than ever. And I'm about to get Beetlejuiced. You know, it's like, no, my kryptonite.
Erica never finds love again because he said it 3 times in a mirror with these candles lit.
Yeah, it's like Bloody Mary. But yeah, no, go to Golden Lux Candles or on Instagram at Golden, LUXE, Candles. And then from there, you can go to their Etsy shop. If you use code BROMANT, you can get a discount. You know, so Golden Lux Candles, they have candles. They have candles dedicated to love. But these aren't just like light it and it smells like something. These are candles infused with intentions. Now, I read all the Harry Potter books. I know a lot about magic, witchcraft. So like, you know, I presume within these candles, there's like your lover's hair will be implanted into these candles. And that when you burn it, you know, they'll then want just you.
Set a Polyjuice potion on fire is really what we're putting down here.
So remember, go to Instagram, go to at Golden, LUXE, Candles. Use promo code BROMANCE, all caps, BROMANCE. Get yourself a candle.